Please mark your book at number 483, and in just a little while we'll be singing that song, Extend the Lord's Invitation. Wednesday night I mentioned that we'll be studying apostasy, the possibility of it, and prevention, how we can prevent it. As we think about that word apostasy, now it's not found in the Bible, is it? You don't find that word in the Bible, but it's defined as a renunciation of religious faith or an abandonment of a previous loyalty, a defection, according to Webster's online dictionary. So this word is not found in the Bible, but the principle or concept is, and many religious people have been taught and persuaded that it's impossible for a Christian to so sin as to lose their salvation. That's a very convenient doctrine. So we'll examine this claim with Bible evidence. So, can a child of God fall from grace? That's the question. Can they? Because this is an age-old Calvinistic idea. It's the perseverance of the saints idea, or once saved, always saved. See, this question seen much debate. And in 2006, Brother Larry Hakeley, he debated a fellow by the name of Kent Brandenburg, and Larry defended this proposition. The scriptures teach that a child of God, once saved by the blood of Christ, can so sin as to be lost eternally in hell. So Brother Hakeley affirmed that. Kent Brandenburg, the Baptist preacher, denied that. Then the next two nights, this proposition was discussed. And Kent Brandenburg, the Baptist preacher, he defended this proposition that the scriptures teach that a child of God, once saved by the blood of Christ, cannot so sin as to be lost eternally in hell. Brother Hakeley denied it. But there are many passages in the Bible that give clear warnings on falling away. I'm wondering why all these passages that we find in the scriptures that warn us of falling away, why have those if you can't fall away? If it's impossible. So if apostasy is not possible, what's the purpose of passages such as 1 Peter chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1 through 13 and Hebrews 3 and other passages? So what's the purpose? Why have those in there? See, the Hiscock Baptist Manual says, we believe the scriptures teach that such are truly regenerate, being born of the Spirit, will not utterly fall away and finally perish, but will endure unto the end, that their preserving attachment to Christ is the grand mark which distinguishes them from the superficial professors, that a special providence watches over their welfare, and that they are kept by the power of God through faith and to salvation. That's found in Hiscock's Baptist Manual. Then a preacher by the name of Sam Morris said this, and this has been used in many debates. Sam Morris said, a Baptist preacher said in his book, Do a Christian Sin Damn His Soul? He said, we take the position that a Christian's sins do not damn his soul. The way a Christian lives, what he says, his character, his conduct, or his attitude toward other people have nothing whatever to do with the salvation of his soul. He went on to say, all the prayers a man may pray, all the Bibles he may read, all the churches he may attend or belong to, all the services he may attend, all the sermons he may practice, all the debts he may pay, all the ordinances he may observe, all the laws he may keep, all the benevolent acts he may perform will not make his soul one whit safer. And all the sins that he may commit from idolatry to murder will not make his soul in any more danger. The way a man lives has nothing whatever to do with the salvation of his soul. The way I live has nothing whatsoever to do with the salvation of my soul, he said. Pretty convenient doctrine, isn't it? See, Brother Sam Morris also said this. He said, if I kill my wife and mother and debauch 1,000 women, I couldn't go to hell. In fact, I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. And Hoy Chastain, in a debate with A.C. Grider, said, if I left my wife and ran off with a 16-year-old girl, God would work it out for my good. These are statements that Baptist priests have made that show the depravity. They were honest. And that they showed the depravity of this doctrine. Remember, Kent Brandenburg, He affirmed the scriptures teach that the child of God, once saved by the blood of Christ, cannot so sin as to be eternally lost in hell. This is plain false doctrine, folks. Because Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." Why would he say that if you can't be lost? He was speaking and writing to Christians. Remember Paul when he wrote to those in Corinth in chapter 10, Paul said that beginning at verse 8, he says, "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world will come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." Why would he warn the Corinthians that they could fall if they couldn't fall? I mean, that's just not good logic, is it? The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, he said, "Take heed, brethren." Notice who he's writing to, brethren. Those that had obeyed the gospel. He said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Why would he make that warning? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor sorcerers will inherit the kingdom of God." He went on to say, And such were some of you, if they had been washed. They were sanctified, they were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Now Paul's telling them, you can't go back to that. If you do, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. So we have these clear warnings that one can fall. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That's pretty clear language, isn't it? So when we compare the doctrines of men versus God's Word, remember what Sam Morris said? Remember what he said? That all the sins he may commit from idolatry to murder will not make a soul any more danger. The way a man lives has nothing whatever to do with the salvation of the soul. The way I live has nothing whatsoever to do with the salvation of my soul. But the inspired Apostle Paul said this. He says, "Now the works of the flesh, which are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that those which practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Who are you going to believe? Sam Morris or the inspired Apostle Paul? I'll put my allegiance with Paul, the Apostle, won't you? Now Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God." In Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, ye have fallen from grace." Here's the question: how can one fall from a position they've never been a part of? Now this statement implies that they were formerly in the grace of Christ. How could that be? How could they fall from some place they've never been? But there are other terms that affirm apostasy. As we mentioned already, we see where Paul said, "You're fallen from grace." He told them that they had fallen from grace. And in James chapter 5, verse 19,
James said, brethren, if any of you do err, he's talking to brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. He shall hide a multitude of sins. Was a man who erred in danger of spiritual death? Slightly. So if any of you do err from the truth. Then over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, we see where Paul speaks of Hymenaeus and Alexander, who had made the faith of some shipwreck. And he said, beginning in verse 18, this charge I commit thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not the blasphemy. So were those two, Hymenaeus and Alexander, were they never not saved? That's what Calvinism says. Calvinism, you know, makes that claim that when one who claims to be saved and they fall away, they never were saved to begin with. That's their claim. Then we see where Demas was said to have departed from Paul. He said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Was Demas in a lost condition? Simon was told by Peter that he was in the gall of bitterness in the bond of iniquity shortly after Simon had obeyed the gospel. And he told him to repent and pray, perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. Peter spoke of those who had turned from God's word, and he described them this way, that they had turned from God and they were like the dog and the sow. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for after they escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed through the wall in the mire. He's describing those that were once in a saved condition and had fallen from grace. There were others. You see, the possibility of apostasy is ever among us. So the Bible teaches that the righteous can turn to unrighteous and die, doesn't it? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24 says, but when the righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? Well, the answer is no. All the righteous which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness which he is guilty and the sin which he hath committed. Because of them shall he die. So said Ezekiel. The Bible teaches that one who has believed can fall away. Jesus taught this in the parable of the sower. In Luke chapter 18, verse 13, Jesus said, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. No, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Then we see where the Bible teaches that Christians can be severed from Christ and fall from grace. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, beginning at verse 2, he says, I indeed, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who's become circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. Notice, they were estranged from Christ. You who attempt to justify by the law have fallen from grace. They had fallen from grace. They were estranged. That word estranged means to turn away in feeling or affection, make unfriendly or hostile,
alienate the affections thereof. Remember over in Galatians chapter 1, verse 69, Paul warned them about believing another gospel. He said, beginning at verse 6, I marvel you are so soon removed from him that called you through the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not the same as the one that Paul preached. He said, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, or which he than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. See, they were estranged. They believed a perverted gospel. What about falling? Anybody ever fell? Ever fell off a ladder? And to fall off the ladder, you got to be on the ladder, don't you? Ever thought about that? You got to be on that ladder. You got to be on the ladder. Well, to fall from grace requires one to first be in the grace of Christ, doesn't it? Think about that. See, the Bible teaches that one can be cut off from the vine that is Christ and wither. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. See, the Bible teaches that those once enlightened can fall away beyond renewal. And the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 4, it says, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. So as long as they're remaining in a state of obstinacy, as long as they were remaining in a state of objection to Christ and his word, they can't be saved. They got to repent of that and turn to Christ and return to him. You can't be saved, and one can't be enlightened when they're denying the Lord and his sacrifice that he made. So remember what apostasy means. It's a renunciation of a religious faith, an abandonment of a previous loyalty. See, other things that Christians can do. Paul talked about casting off their first faith, and turning aside unto Satan. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning at verse 12 through 15, Paul said, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Not only idle, but tattlers, also in busybodies, speaking things that they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan, referring to Christians who had turned from God. James said in James chapter 5 that we can fall into condemnation. In James chapter 5 verse 12 it says, But above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Paul warned the Colossians that they can be moved away from the hope of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, he said, if you continue in the faith, ground and settle, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So in order not to fall, we have to be grounded. We have to maintain our faith. And he warned that they can be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I Paul am made minister. Now Paul warned the Corinthians. He feared lest they had believed in vain. Remember, there were some who were questioning whether or not there was a resurrection. Some believed, evidently, that there was no resurrection. And Paul warned them about that. And he was concerned that they believed what he preached in vain. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. See, he went on to explain the consequences of that belief. And he said, verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and our faith also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. In other words, Paul said, we're liars if that be true. We told you that Christ was raised from the dead. If he didn't, then we're liars. Because if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep, or those who have died in Christ, are perished. If in this life only have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, will become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So Paul assured them that Christ, in fact, had risen. Some were believing in vain. See, Paul said that some could be worse than an infidel if they didn't provide for their own. He said, but if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Is an infidel a saved individual? Are they? Then we can be vomited out of God's mouth. Paul's statement to those in Laodicea. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Turn with me over to that. Revelation chapter 3. And we'll begin. Just read a good part of this. Paul said to Laodicea, beginning at verse 14, he says, unto the church, or angel of the church in Laodicea, right? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, or vomit you out of my mouth. The one who's been vomited out of the Lord's mouth. Is that something that illustrates something that's a pleasure to God? It's not, is it? They were vomited out of God's mouth. He told them to repent. The Hebrew writer also warned about drawing back to perdition or destruction. He says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, or go back to evil, go back to the evil way, he says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So are we ones who draw back or believe? Then we can fail the grace of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, Paul said, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So many have been defiled, haven't they? Because of their lack of faithfulness. We have examples of God's people who have gone into apostasy. For example, Israel. They're referred to as backsliding Israel. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, God told Moses, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, God told the Israelites through Moses. Then in Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven in heaven or above, or the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. We see over in Exodus chapter 32, when Moses was on the mount, what happened? Remember what happened? People got a little impatient. And when they saw that Moses delayed coming down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto us, "Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not as what has become of him." And Aaron said, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me." And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation, said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And they arose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Remember, Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go, get thee down for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them, that they made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sanctified thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. And I will make thee a great nation." And Moses besought the Lord. He pleaded with the Lord and said, "Lord, why dost thou thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with great and mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fear threat and repent of this evil against thy people." We talked about that this morning, didn't we? Bob mentioned it. But Jeremiah said over in Jeremiah chapter 3, beginning at verse 6, Jeremiah referred to God's people as backsliding Israel. Backsliding Israel. Idolatry was one of their principal faults. And beginning at verse 6, "The Lord said unto me, In the days of Josiah king, hast thou seen that with backsliding Israel hath done? She hath gone up upon every high mountain, under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot, and committed spiritual adultery, by worshipping other gods. And I said, After her, she hath done all these things. Turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And here her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I put her away, and given her a bill of divorce. And yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. It came to pass, through the likeness of her whoredom, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignly, saith the Lord." We see where backsliding Israel, an example of God's people going into apostasy. Now Peter, he was told by the Lord that, and even gloated that he would never deny the Lord. But in Luke chapter 20, beginning at verse 31, Jesus said, "Simon Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thou faith fail not." The Lord prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me thrice, and deny that you knew me. So as we read on in Luke chapter 50, or 22, Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 54, Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 54, the text says there, and they took him and led him, returned to Jesus, and brought him up to the high priest, and Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know not, or know him not. And after a little while, another saw him, and said, thou were also with him. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of an hour, another also confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately all yet spake the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, behold, or before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The Lord gave Peter the look. I remember when I was a boy, when I would be cutting up in service, I'd look over my mom and she'd be looking at me. I knew I was in trouble. She gave me the look. Peter got the look, but Peter denied the Lord, didn't he? His faith failed there at that time. Paul in Galatians chapter 2 confronted Peter. And as we read that account, we see that Peter was being a hypocrite. And Paul went to him and confronted him face to face. And Paul said there, beginning at verse 11, he said, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him with the faith, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And when the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So Paul would, or Peter would associate with Gentiles as long as no Jews were around. When the Jews showed up, he withdrew himself. He was being a hypocrite. And others followed along with him. See, Peter was in a lost state at that moment. Paul scolded him. Later, Peter wrote to Paul and called him his beloved brother. He didn't hold it against him. He always thanked him. Graciously thanked him because he saved his soul from wrath. Simon the sorcerer, and he tried to buy the gift of God with money. Shortly after he was baptized, as we read Acts chapter 8, we see where Simon, he had been one who was a trickster, he was a magician, and he deceived the people. And many people followed him. They thought he was some great one. But in verse 13, it says, when they believed Peter preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and he was baptized. And he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And then in verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter said unto him, thy money perisheth with thee, because thou hast thought that the gifts of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness, the bond of iniquity. Was he in a saved state there? Now, shortly after he was baptized, he fell, didn't he? and tell them to repent and pray. And the fornicating brother in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talked about and confronted the Corinthians, the whole congregation, because they accepted this brother who committed a sin that was not even named among the Gentiles. And he said, "You are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed may be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in the body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus, by that authority, when you are gathered together in my spirit, for the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one from Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." He told them to put him away from them. Verse 13, notice, "But them," he says, "that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among you that wicked person," referring to the one that was committing incest. And he did that. And later on, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you see where Paul commends them as they had done their duty in restoring that individual. So we need to understand these examples. And as we read, the church of Laodicea, they were spewed out of the Lord's mouth. They were spewed out of the Lord's mouth. He told them to repent. But what are the causes of apostasy? I submit to you that lack of knowledge is, isn't it? Hosea said, "My people are short for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt not be a priest, no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, Paul reminded the Corinthians of the sins of those that went before them, their fathers in the wilderness. And notice what he said in verse 1. He said, "Moreover, brother, would not you that you should be ignorant." He didn't want them to be unaware of this. He wanted them to know why the Israelites fell in the wilderness. He said, "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud in the sea." He told them how they had done things that were contrary to what God would have them to do. They were idolaters. They committed fornication, spiritual adultery. They tempted Christ. They murmured. He said all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Now remember, Paul said in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our," what? "Our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Do we learn from these examples of those who fell before us? That's a message to us. Paul said they're written for our admonition. Another cause is temptation. We talked about those that were on the rock that Jesus mentioned. They on the rock are they which when they hear the word, receive the word with joy, and in time of temptation they fall away. We talked about temptation last week. Remember Judas Iscariot, he coveted with those Israelite leaders for 30 pieces of silver to betray Christ. Remember, in Matthew chapter 10, we have a list of all the apostles, of whom includes Simon, the sorcerer. Jesus had selected the apostles, whom he had chosen, Luke said in Acts chapter 1. One of the Lord's own apostles betrayed him. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, we see where Judas fell victim to the temptation of money. For 30 pieces of silver he coveted with them. Then in Matthew 27, beginning at verse 3, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the 30 pieces of silver, and the carter went out and hanged himself. He committed suicide. He fell from grace, didn't he? He was an apostle. What does that say to us? That's to be selected by Jesus as an apostle who fell and betrayed the Lord. We have those that tell us you can't lose your salvation. The friendship of the world will cause us to fall. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, Luke wrote, and that which fell among the thorns, as Jesus described the parable of the sower, are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. How many of us are often caught up in various things in life? We all have things that we have to do, and we're busy, aren't we? But do we take out time to study and pray and read our Bibles and come to the worship services? Are we that enamored and choked out by cares and riches of this world that will be like those that Jesus describes here? James said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If you're an enemy of God, guarantee you'll lose. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. So it's a no-win battle. Remember Demas, he forsook Paul. He loved this present world, Paul wrote. Then we see where false doctrine and false teachers. Paul warned the Ephesian brethren of false teachers. He warned the elders, those that should have been protecting the souls of saints. They were the ones that would fall first. Paul said, for I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So he warned elders that they could fall. We have those that say you can't fall from grace. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, Paul said, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Thought you couldn't depart, according to Sam Morris. Giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, which believe and know the truth. Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. He said, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and do the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. By doubting about questions, strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, he said. And we see where there are those who seek to be justified by the law. Now, there are a lot of people today who say, well, we have to keep the law. We have to work from the Sabbath. I mean, there are many that practice Sabbath day worship. But Paul told the Galatians, remember, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, he said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Then in verse 7, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? You should not obey the truth. Then we can be hardened against God's will. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called a day, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Causes of apostasy. How do we prevent them? How do we prevent it? could happen to any one of us.
How do we do that? What do we do?
We need to study and apply God's word to ourselves, don't we? Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul said that all scripture is given of the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we need to grow spiritually. Peter said we need to lay aside all malice. We need as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. That we may grow thereby. Peter urged us to grow over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11 by adding to our faith, knowledge, and all these things. We have to maintain our faith. It's a constant thing we have to do, just like your car, your house. You've got to maintain it or to fall apart. In Ephesians 4, Paul said he gave apostles and prophets for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so we all come unto the unity of the faith, and that we must grow up in Christ, not out of Christ. We must not forsake, or we must forsake the world and seek heavenly things. John said there in 1 John chapter 2, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. We must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Most people have that backwards, don't they? They're seeking what is not eternal. They're seeking things of this life, which are temporal. Not seeking those things which are eternal, which will eternally save your soul. So we must abide in the doctrine of Christ. John said, whosoever transgresseth and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. Paul told the Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, he said, even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, and he named all sorts of sins. Why? Why were they filled with that? Because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. See? They left God. Paul said we need to know that salvation is only in Christ. In Galatians 2, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He said, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So only through Christ can we be saved. Paul said, or Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, referring to Jesus. And Paul told Timothy, he says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And all things that are blessed, all spiritual blessings are in Christ, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And then we need not be hardened in heart to God's will. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, there's a big if, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation or in the rebellion in the wilderness, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said, they always do err in their heart, they have not known my way, so I swear my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. So will we enter into his rest by our actions? What will it be? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, Jesus said we must do the will of the Father. He said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that do the will of my Father, not your will. You can't do your will. You got to do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. We talked about many that would say they've done their will, as though they're doing the Lord's will. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not prospered in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and not professing them, I never knew you. Apart from me, ye that work iniquity. ye that work iniquity. See, God's remedy for apostasy is to repent of your sins. Remember, Simon Paul, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if thou have the thought of thine heart, may be forgiven thee. Also, the Athenians at the times of this ignorance, God winked up and now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We need to confess our sins to God and our brethren. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. James said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to pray to God for his forgiveness and or our forgiveness. In Acts chapter 2, we see where Simon told repent and pray. And he asked brother to pray for him. And we need to understand that we need to be truly converted. James said, brethren, if any of you do err from truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. We need to also be committed disciples of the Lord. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, he didn't mean to hate in a vengeful way, but to love less his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also. In other words, put Christ first. He cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. So we have to repent of our waywardness, put God first. So in conclusion, can a child of God fall away? We even established that a child of God can fall away and be eternally lost. So we study and learn of the possibility of apostasy. We look at examples of apostasy of God's own people in the past. We looked at causes of apostasy. We looked at ways to prevent apostasy. We looked at God's remedy for apostasy. Remember what Paul said. He said, therefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Take heed lest he fall. Finally, now the Bible plan of salvation says that sinners, alien sinners, must hear the word of the gospel, believe it, repent of their sins, confess their faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Erring children of God must repent and pray, as Simon was told to do. And in order to receive that crown of life, the children of God must live faithful unto death. Yes, we do sin at times, but we need to be those who confess our sin and realize that Jesus is faithful and just forgiveth our sins to cleanse from all unrighteousness. The lust is yours, in any way subject to the Lord's invitation. Words you think on these things that we've talked about this morning as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Shall we stand while we sing?